Good morning. Today's daf in Sotah is Lamed Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lanazir and Ishmael Libegar Vela Bashmuel. We're on Lamed Amud Beis. We're going to finish today, God willing, the fifth parak of the Masechta. Start the sixth parak. Maybe finish the sixth parak. I know that sounds funny. Sixth parak, shortest parak, I think, in Shas. At least as it comes out in Gemara. Form it's one daf. There's a parak in Sanhedrin, which we'll see. I think it's two blot. But anyway, we have a parak here in Sotah that's, I think, could be viewed as even less than one blot. Anyway, let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We are still going back to the Mishnah in Chavzayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah goes over numerous halachas that were taught by Yom. One of those halachas had to do with Sota, which is why the Mishnah comes up over here, Masechta Sota. And then the Mishnah gives a number of other halachas that were discussed by Yom. So the Gemara here is going to give analysis on the Mishnah. We're starting in the Gemara Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Akiva. The Maika Miflagi, so the Gemara says, what's the Machlok is subject to? So first of all, let's remind each other what the Machlok is talking about. So Baba Yom. Yeah, sorry. The Mishnah discusses the parameters of the Ari Levim. Baba Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva, just going back to the Mishnah, I'm reviewing the Mishnah in Chavzayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ma'adosam Umichutz La'ir Es Pas Kaidmas Alpaim Ma'ama. So on one hand, it describes that there was a perimeter around the city that was 2,000. Umikra Acheramar Mikira Ir V'chutz La'elafama. And then there's another pasuk that says 1,000. So, Eav Shalomar Elephama, Shikvar Nemar Alpaimama, Vev Shalomar Alpaimama, Shikvar Nemar Elephama. To which the Gemara says, it's 2,000, 1,000 obviously are incompatible. Haketzad Elephama, Migrash Vapaimama, Tchum Shabbos. So, Rabbi Kiva's understanding is that 1,000 Amas refers to Migrash. Okay, that's the fields, right? That's Park City, And I'm not talking about Utah. And the Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Glila, Amar Elef Amma, Migrash Apai Mama, Sadosu Kramim. And Rabbi Elazar says that, no, that's not how to resolve the pasuk. The pasuk actually, 1,000, 2,000, is describing two different perimeters. One, the Elef Amma's Migrash, that's just fields, that's just empty fields. And Apai Mama, and another 2,000 Amma, Sadosu Kramim, is going to be vineyards and orchards. Okay, that's Rabbi Yossi's resolution of the two psukim. Now with that in place, now the Gemara goes on to explain what's the machlokus about. So that's the Gemara's question. And then the Gemara says very simply, very shortly, succinctly, that the whole machlokus over here in our Mishnah is about how to view Tchum Shabbos. So again, so what we know is as follows, that there's an idea of Tchum, that you are not allowed to go beyond city limits more than 2,000 amas. This is the idea of Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses it, and the Gemara in Beitza discusses it extensively. Tchum applies to both Shabbos and Yontif. Somewhat of a misconception, because in Yontif you're allowed to carry. So it's sometimes misconceived that if you're allowed to carry, you're also allowed to go beyond Tchum as well, but that's not true. On Yontif, just like on Shabbos, you are circumscribed within an area of 2,000 amas outside the city limits. Is that a din d'rabbanan or is that a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara points out, that's now a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that when the Torah describes 2,000 amas outside the Ari Levim, outside the city of the Levim, so Rabbi Kiva says that 2,000 amas is a description of tchum, meaning the Torah is acknowledging, the Torah is recognizing this perimeter of 2,000 amas. So, and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, who gives a different pshat in the pasuk altogether, it's because his starting point is that tchum is not a din d'oraisa, tchum is a din d'rabbanan. So if tchum is the din d'rabbanan, not a d'oraisa, So obviously you have to give a different explanation of the pasuk. Gemara says that's the nature of the machlokas, that's the subject of the machlokas. In terms of the halacha here does not go like Rabbi Akiva, right? The Rabbi Akiva who says that Tchum Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, so even though usually Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing against one other, we go like Rabbi Akiva, but the Rishonim do not. The Rishonim follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi on this issue. One interesting point, the Rambam, the Rif, so in correct order, the Rif and the Rambam, so they are both of the opinion that even though there is no Tchum Shabbos in terms of 2,000 amas, but there becomes a point in time where you cannot walk on Shabbos beyond a certain perimeter, then that's 12 mil. 12 mil is 24,000 amas.
Where did they get it?
Yes, all right. So where did the Rif and the Rambam get that from? So they have a number. There are a number of proofs. It's its own discussion. Throwing out. Yeah, the 24,000 amas. That is a din d'oraisa. So then, in other words, there is an idea. There is some idea of a perimeter, but not the 2,000 amas that's being discussed over here. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan Baba Yam Dosh Rabbi Kiva Basha Shalu Yisrael Yam Not Nu Enem Lamar Shira. V'keitzan Amar Shira. Okay, next topic that comes up in the Mishnah is a question of how Shira Seyam was said. Okay, somewhat of a historical debate. And usually, the Gemara says when it comes to issues that happened historically, so my Dehava Hava, what was. Meaning, obviously, it's interesting, it's a curiosity for us to know exactly how it happened. But generally speaking, if it has no halachic ramification, so it's not going to be within the purview of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't generally discuss it. However, as you'll see, it'll become clear in just a moment. It does have halachic ramifications in terms of how the Jewish people said Az Yashir. Because the Gemara is going to say that the way they said Az Yashir is going to be the way we say Halal. Meaning nowadays, we on occasion, we say Halal. All right, Yantav Chanukah, the Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. I mean, we do it anyway. But I'm saying, but we say halal. How do we say halal? So the Gemara says that based on how Moshe Bnei Yisrael said Az Yashir, so that's going to dictate a lot of how we should say halal. Back in Sukkah, in the third parak, so there was a more description of how we say halal. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So Rabbi Kiva said that when they came up from the sea, Nasno Ne'enem L'Mashir, Kates and Amru, so how did they say halal? Sorry, how did they say Az Yashir? No. Now I'm going back and forth. So kigadol hamakri is a halal. So it's like a gadol who is leading the tzibor in halal. Hein onin acharav rashi prakim. So where there's a chorus line. The chorus line is the beginning of the paragraph. So Moshe amar ashir l'Hashem, hein onin ashir l'Hashem. So Moshe would say Ashir al Hashem, the beginning of Az Yashir, and we would respond with that first pasuk. Moshe Amar Kigo Ga. Moshe would then say the next pasuk, Vehin Amrim Ashir al Hashem, and we would say Ashir al Hashem. So why don't we say Kigo Ga? Answer: because we said it. What does that mean? Meaning Shomei Ka'ona. We have a basic principle that when you hear something and you're hearing it to be Yotzei, so it's as if you said it. Kiddush, prime example. We have to make Kiddush on Friday night. We don't make Kiddush on Friday night, generally. We listen to somebody saying Kiddush on Friday night. So, how is that working? Shomei Ka'ona. So, here as well. So, if you have a gadol, an adult, leading the tzibur in halal, so by him saying it and by you listening, so you said it. So, there is a response. The response is, you go back to the beginning of the paragraph. You say, Ashir Lashem. Right, it's kind of like what we do. It's not. It's we don't do it exactly this way, but by the paragraph of Hod Lashem Kito Kila Mechasto. So the Shliach Sibur says the next pasuk, and we go back to Hod Lashem Kito Kila Mechasto. Now Minhag Ashkenaz, I don't know this far in my, I don't know, but the Minhag Ashkenaz is that under our breath we then say the next pasuk as well. But okay, but that's the basic idea. The basic idea is that we were Yodse with listening. And then we revert back to the beginning of the arc. We do respond because it's responsive, but we respond with the beginning of the paragraph. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Aglilu Amar, Kekadna Makar Sahalo, Ve'ino Nacharav Kol Mashahu Omer. So Rabbi Yosef Aglilu says, no, that's not how it happened, but rather how it happened is that it's like a katan leading the Shliach Sibor. Okay, nowadays the minhag is not to have a katan lead the Shliach Sibor, but like a katan leading the Shliach Sibor, where if he were to say halal, so now, are we going to be yotzei by listening? No, because the only way we're going to be yotzei by listening is if it's emanating from somebody who himself is chayiv in the mitzvah of halal. A katan is not chayiv in the mitzvah of halal. So he says the pasuk, so we listen, but that's not going to help. So what do we have to do? We have to respond. But our response has to be the very same pasuk that he just said, otherwise we're not yotzei. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef Glili, that's what happened by Shir Sayam. We responded with the same thing that Moshe said. So Ma Omer, I'm sorry. So Kol Mashu Omer. Moshe Amar Shir Hashem, Ve'inomrim Shir Hashem. Moshe Amar Ki Goga, Ve'inomrim Ki Goga. Okay, so again, back and forth, we said exactly what he said. It's like a cut, and we're leading the challah. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Kisofer Parasashma Bebeis Knesses. It's like a sofer. Sofer over here does not mean a scribe. Sofer here just simply means a shlich tzibah, the chazan. So Parashma Bebeis Knesses, where he's leading the congregation in Shema. Shu Posech Tchila Vehino Nina Acharav. So Vehino Nina Acharav, where he basically he opens up right by Kabbalah Shabbos. Right, the shlich tzibah gets up there. And Lechuna Ranana, he tells everyone basically, okay, we're starting, and everyone gets going. So B'maikem Miflegi. So and the Gemara says now once again, what's behind this machlokus? A three-way machlokus in terms of how Moshe got everyone going. Rabbi Kiva says Lemor. Rabbi Kiva says that the pasuk says Lemor. On Milsa Kamaisa. So Rabbi Kiva says it's going on the first thing that Moshe said, meaning we would repeat Asher El Hashem because that was the first thing that Moshe said, and that became the chorus line. So after every pasuk that Moshe said, we just repeat. We just went back to the beginning of the parsha. Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Glilei Savar Lemor, Akol Milsa Milsa. And Rabbi Eliezer says no. Well, when the Torah says Lemor, it means that we responded after everything that Moshe said. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, Vayomru de Amarkulu. And Reb Nechemiah says, Vayomru. Right? We said it. We as the Jewish people said it. Meaning everyone said, Yashir Bahadi Hadande. So, and we all said it simultaneously. Lemor de Pasuk Moshe Bereisha. Now, it's true, the Pasuk says the word Lemor, but Lemor just simply means Moshe got us going. But we all said it.
How could they say if they don't know what the words are?
Ah, that's a perfect question, and it brings us into the next bit of Gemara like seamlessly. Tanu Rabbanan Darsh Rabbi Yosi Aglu B'Shah Shali Yisrael. When the Jewish people came up from the sea, Nasnu Einem Lomar Shira. They all lifted their eyes to say Shira. So, meaning we all had Ruach HaKodesh. So every Jew after having crossed Yom Suf had Ruach HaKodesh. We said Shira. Now, when we say everybody, we mean everybody, and we mean everybody. Ketzad Amushira Olel Mutal Al Birkei Imo. So you have a toddler who's sitting in the lap of his mother. Vitinok Yonek, and you have an infant who's nursing. Mishadei Imo. So once it came time to, once they saw the Shekhinah, everyone was able to see the Shekhinah at, by Kriyas Yom Suf. So the toddler raised his head, he raised his neck, and the infant stopped nursing, and everyone said, Zekeli Vanveo, Shinamra Mipi Olalim, Vyonkim, Yozdos, Yasadata Oz. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that Olalim Vyonkim. Right, toddlers and people who nurse. Rashi points out, by the way, that when the Torah gives us the list, it starts from the top and it works its way down. So Olel is older than a Yonek. We know Yonek is nursing, so Olel has got to be older. Rashi gives another example. Shur Adseh. Right, you start from the greater and you work your way to the smaller. So Olel the Yonek. So Olel is a slightly older child, the toddler. Down to the Yonek, Yasara Ta'os. Okay, so everyone had Nevuah. Hi, Rabbi Meir Omer, and Rabbi Meir will go even one step further. Meaning as if you couldn't go any further, Rabbi Meir does. Shenamar, I'm sorry. I just made up words. I apologize. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir Omer Minay Shafilu Urbim Shebemei Iman Amru Shira. The fetuses in utero, they also said Shira. How do I know that? The Pasuk says, B'makelos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. B'makelos, in the congregation, meaning when we congregated, Rashi points out, by Kriyas Yom Suf, obviously. I mean, obviously, in the context of our Gemara, obviously. Baruch Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. And even from the Mekor is always a reference in the Gemara to the uterus. So even those who are Mimekor, from in utero, so they also said Shira as well. Okay, the parentheses, I'll read it, but generally speaking, we don't. The halachazu amar Rabbi Tamchin keres nasa lam kas baklari amira vero. So the Gemara says, and how did they see? It's funny. I guess if you have in parentheses, which we do, it kind of means that this give and take over here is really unnecessary because Once you accept the fact that the fetuses are singing, like, then the next point is, well, how do they see? I mean, we're talking about fetuses singing, so already we're above nature. So I guess if you're not going to ask this question, it's like you understand, like we're not discussing natural order right now. So then you don't have to ask the next question. Those who have the girsa, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, and how do they see? Well, their mother's stomach became kind of like a glass, and they were able to look through their mother's stomach and able to see. It's just kind of funny in the context, meaning we kind of get that this is above the natural law, so they could easily see without having visibility. Anyway, Baba Yom Darsha of Yeshua ben Horkana. Okay. Meaning, does he accept? It's interesting. The Gemara in Brachos in the seventh parak also brings this down because it's a machlokus what you darshan from the pasuk. So I don't know. I don't know. Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Yehoshua ben Horkana Shelo Avad Iyov Vechulei. And finally, the last point that was discussed in the Mishnah back on Chav Zayin Amud Beis was Iyov. Did he serve Hashem Mi'ava Mi'ira? Okay. I pointed out already when we did the Mishnah, it's interesting how topics like these, which are important topics, are discussed with the same fervor and passion as the halacha, meaning the halacha, a sota, tumah tahara, a shlishi by tumah tahara, like, you know, just very basic halachic issues. And then, did he serve Hashem Avan Yira? Okay, I mean, my reaction, which is not a correct reaction, would have been, okay, take your pick, meaning... Well, it's how to understand the pasukim. The pasuk does detail it, and the Gemara is about to point out. It's just a question of how to read the pasuk. But it's interesting that the hashkafic issue becomes as important. It's bobayom, meaning it's being discussed on that day. So obviously, when they get together and you have a critical, significant day in the Beis Medrash where everybody now is, you know, let's come to a conclusion on this issue, that issue, this issue. So this is one of the issues. Okay. So my point simply is, you know, you gotta take this as seriously. They obviously did. Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Yeshua ben Horkana Shelo Avad Iyov Vechulei. V'lech Zeh Hai Lo Ibalamed Aleph Ksiv Lohu Obalamed Vav Ksiv Lohu. So let's go back to the pasuk as the Mishnah quoted, where is the source of this debate in terms of how did Iyov serve God? Love or fear? So we have a pasuk. So the pasuk in Iyov says, right, the Hein Yiktaleni Lo Ayachel. Even if you were to kill me, Lo Ayachel. I would hope for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? I'm sorry, Lo Ayachel. And at that point, right? Just I'm going back to the Mishnah. I'm rereading the Mishnah. V'adayna davar shakol lo. I'm sorry. V'adayna davar shakol. And we still don't really know what the pasuk means. Lo ani mitzaper o ani mitzaper. Does the pasuk mean you Hashem I'm going to hope for, or you Hashem I'm not going to hope for? And then the Gemara says, "Tamalomer ad egavah lo asir tumasim imenu." Until I die, says Iyov, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be complete with you. Okay. Now the Gemara here points out what a strange discussion. Meaning, open up a Tanakh, open up the Iyov, the 13th parak, and see how the pasuk is written. Hein yiktaleni, even if you would kill me, lo ayachel. Now, without looking inside, you hear it as one of two ways: either I'm not going to hope anymore because my life is going to be in jeopardy, or no, lo ayachel. I'm still going to look to hope for you because the lo is lamed vav. And so the Gemara's question is really simple: how is the pasuk reading, lamed vav or lamed aleph? And that's going to determine the right shot.
But the thing is, it's something that he verbalized. So in fact, you don't know what he was saying.
Right, but we do have. So, I understand. We have a mesorah in terms of how the chumash and how navi should be written. So v'chol hechad deksiv v'lamin alf lohu. So elam me'ata, the Gemara says, now even if we knew the correct spelling, says the Gemara, it still would not be enough evidence in terms of what the definition is. Sometimes lo lamed aleph does not mean no. I know that sounds strange, but it's sometimes that's true. Elam me'ata b'chol tzar asam lo tzar. Whatever pain they go through, lo tzar. Dichsiv b'lamed aleph. Now there, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's written with a lamed aleph. Ta'achinami d'lohu. Now, and we're supposed to understand it as no. The Gemara is asking rhetorically. Are we supposed to understand that as no? V'chitem achinami. The Gemara says, and maybe that's right. V'aksiv u'malach panav hoshiyam. But it's not true. Meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not abandon. In fact, Malach Pan Avoshem, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends a Malach to save us. Mashmahachi or Mashmahachi. So the word lo, lamed aleph, has a built-in ambiguity and sometimes can mean lo, meaning no, but lo, almost like a rhetorical, and no. So even with the word lo written lamed aleph, there still is a built-in ambiguity. We don't know whether it's going yes or no. Tosfos points out over here, not the regular Tosfos, the Rosh Mishnayos, right? Another one of the Balei Tosfos in Sota, he's printed on the daf. So he points out over here that there are a couple times in Chumash, meaning you don't even have to turn to Yeshayahu, a couple times in Chumash, where the lo written lamed aleph has a built-in ambiguity, right? The Torah's description of the grasshopper, right? The kosher animal which most of us don't eat, because we I'd say it's a halachic issue, but I think it's also just an issue of we're not interested. But the Torah describes the grasshopper as having legs. The Torah's description is lo karayim, right? And it doesn't have legs. Then it's just simply not true. It does. So the Gemara darshins exactly what the Torah means by the word lo over there. But you see, the point is that even in the Torah itself, the word lo doesn't mean no or not. There are other ways to understand it, but even the Chumash himself, there's an ambiguity in the word what the word lo means. Okay, back to our Gemara Tanya. We learned in the Brisa Rabbi Meir Omer Nemar Yirei Elokim Biyovan Nemar Yirei Elokim BaAvraham Ma Yirei Elokim HaMor BaAvraham MiAva. Avraham loved the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Av Yirei Elokim HaMor BiYov MiAva. So too Iyov loved Hashem. It was out of Ava. Ove Avraham Gufe Minalan. Excuse me. Only begs the next question. How do I know that Avram loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu dechsiv Zer Avraham o Avai? So, my ika bein osem mi'ava lo osem mi'ira. The Gemara says, okay, now what's the difference? Meaning you're serving Hashem. What difference does it make whether it's Ava Yira? So, ika, haditanya, the Gemara says, I'll tell you a difference. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer, gadol ha'osem mi'ava yosem min osem mi'ira. Serving Hashem out of love is greater than serving Him out of fear. Shezet toli la'elav dor, v'zet toli la'alpaim dor. Because the chuyos that are created out of Ava extend for 2,000 generations, while the zchus that comes out of Yira only extends 1,000 generations. Hachaksiv la alafim olaavei olashomrei mitzvasai. So it says regarding an oev akadosh baruch hu alafim, thousands. Okay, and we're generally speaking in the plural, we only take the minimum, so 2,000. V'hasam ksiv v'loshomer mitzvasayv le'elef dor. And meanwhile, if you're shomer mitzvah, you guard the mitzvah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to use the zechuyos for 1,000 generation. So you see that when it comes to ohev, 2,000, yiram, 1,000. Hasam namik siv lo avav lo shomer mitzvasav. The Gemara says, yeah, but if you look in that pasuk in Dvarim, you'll see in that very pasuk it says, oh avav and shomer mitzvasav. It actually mentions ava in that pasuk of 1,000 generation. Lel of dor, hayla desamech le v'hayla desamech le. So the Gemara gives a very technical answer. The Gemara says, yes, but if you compare the two psukim in the pasuk in Shmos, it says, la alafim. The word alafim is right next to the word oavai. So an ohev is going to produce a yield of 2,000 generations. Meanwhile, the pasuk in Dvarim, l'shomei mitzvosav le'elav dor, the word ohev is not right next to the word elef. Okay, just a very technical answer in terms of how we know to differentiate.
How many generations
are we asking for? The Torah was supposed to be given... Right, that's the right question. Right, 30. Right, we're 3,300 years since Sinai, so we're. What are we talking about now? 100 generations. Right. Right. We're right. Right. So Lamaisa. Right. We're. Right. We're. Okay. And then when all said and done, the Gemara ends off this discussion with a story. Trey Tamid Dehava Yasa Kamid De Rava. There are two students in front of Rava. Chana Marle Ikayim Bechamei. So one of the students reported to Rava, here's what I dreamt last night. Halavai, our dream should go like this. Ma Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta Le Reecha. The goodness that's stored, that's set aside for those who fear you. Okay, so he was having psukim in Tehillim read to him in a dream. And the other student says to Rava, "Oh, you know, I also last night had a dream." And v'yismucha kol chosei bach, and rejoice anyone who has hope in you. La'olam yiranu v'yaltsu b'cha o avay shimcha. And my pasuk ended with the word ohev. Okay, so the two students go to Rava, and one had a pasuk about Yira, the other student had a pasuk about Ava, and Amrlohu Tarvaichu Rabbanan Sadike Gemura Ason, Marmi Ava, Marmi Yira. And Rava basically kind of leaves this as a stalemate. You're both going to be wonderful Sadikim Gemurim, one is going to be from Ava, and the other one's going to be from Yira. Sounds like from Rava's answer, like Lamaisa, like there's no difference. Even though the Gemara just constructed an argument that there is a difference, it's greater, Ava is greater than Yira, Rava's response seems to indicate that there is no difference. So the Gemara leaves us off a little bit with, at least me, leaves me off with a little bit of ambiguity in terms of, you know, what's the preference, what should be better. Okay. Hadralach Kishem Shamayim. Adkan is the fifth parak of the Masechta, and now we begin today the sixth parak of the Masechta. Easily one of the shortest parakim in Shas, and this parak brings us back just for a little bit of time back to the world of Sota. A lot of the ideas that we're going to be seeing together in this Mishnah are repeated from the beginning of the Masechta, so a lot of this should sound familiar to us. Again, just a quick reminder before we start the parak. I know this goes all the way back to the beginning, but just to remember. In order for a woman to become a Sota and have the status of a Sota, so two things need to happen. Kinu and Stira. Kinu is a warning. Kinu is where the husband sees that she's spending an unreasonable amount of time with another man, and he says to her, "I do not want you speaking to that man." And according to Rabbi Yoshua in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that must be done in front of two witnesses. Okay. Then she secludes herself with that man in front of two witnesses. Again, according to Rabbi Yoshua. I'm just reviewing what we learned from the very beginning of the Masechta. So now with that kinui, with that stira, she now is a sota. We do not know what happened in that room, but as the Gemara said earlier, raglaim ladavar, now there's a good amount of evidence that something happened in that room, although we don't know what happened. So now from this point going forward, she has the status of a sota. She's usher to her husband from this point going forward, but with a resolution. There's a possible resolution to this problem, and that is going to the Beis HaMikdash, having drink the Beis Sota, and coming away free and clear from that test. So then she can go back to her husband. That is kinu and stira as it relates to the sota. In the first Mishnah, we also have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says that as far as the kinu is concerned, kinu must be done in front of two witnesses. And in terms of stira can be done in front of anybody, according to Rabbi Eliezer of the first Mishnah. Right, mashke al pi edachad, o al pi atzmo. Even a self-reporting would be enough for a stira, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And then again, just as a means of chazara, you remember back in the beginning of the Masechta, there actually was a third opinion, not brought down in the Mishnah. It was a brisa where it's Rabbi Eliezer, but flipped, meaning that for kinui, kinui can be done in front of a witness, even self-reporting. I warn my wife. And then stira has to be done in front of two witnesses. Okay. Anyway, those are the opinions in the first Mishnah in terms of what renders a woman a sota. With that stated now, let's start the Mishnah here in the beginning of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Mishkin Elishto. A man warned his wife not to be with a man. Vinistera, and she secludes herself with a man. Afilu shama me'of haporeach. And how did we learn about her secluding herself with that man? Of haporeach. A flying bird reported it. Okay, there is a Rambam over here which indicates that he takes the Mishnah literally, which is just, you know, the Rambam. It's a little hard to imagine, but in other words, if you want to envision a parrot coming forward and repeating that which he heard. So, but anyway, Yotzi v'tink suva div Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but let's just go with the pshat that Rashi offers over here. Ofa parech, and the Mishnah's usage over here is not to be understood literally, but it's an idiom. It's idiomatic. And Rashi over here writes, one of the first Rashis of the Perek, after having received the proper warning, she secludes herself. And even if we hear from Ofa Pareach, Rashi, Shinistera, she secluded herself with a man. Yosef Yitink Suva, Rabbi Lezer, Latame, Damar, Beberakama, Stira, Lobai, Eidos, Vafilo Evid, Vafilo Shifcha, Neemanim. So Rashi writes that this is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer Lashitaso, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, because Rabbi Eliezer says Kinoi has to be done in front of two. The warning was issued in front of two witnesses. We're going to go to the Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah. And then, in terms of the Stira, that could be done in front of everybody, in front of anybody. Once there's a Stira that's done, and Rashi says Ofa Parech just simply means anybody. Anybody reported that she secluded herself, it just simply means that we heard word. Okay, it doesn't literally mean a bird. It just simply means if anyone were to report that she secluded herself with that man, so then at that point in time she's also to her husband and a forfeiture of her ksuva according to Rabbi Eliezer. The itkish latuma dekula mehemna ba hilkach nesra alavim eino rotsa leha shkosi yotze vitein ksuva. Now, Rashi points out, well, if she's a sota, so why don't we go to the base of mitzvahs? Why don't we have her drink? So Rashi just gives but one example. There are numerous examples. But Rashi gives one example. The husband doesn't want her to drink. Look, Let's just call it a day, right? It's right. Even if you go to the Beis Hamikdash and even if you drink, I'm still not interested anymore. So he'll give her ksuva. He'll give her ksuva. Other way, he'll give her a get and a forfeiture of the ksuva.
Okay. Maybe it means the court saw the actual
act. But what difference does it make to us?
Because if there's a witness to the act, then
but a witness is generally a person. Right. Okay.
If there's a witness, she lives there to do what?
But oh no! But a witness to the stira, right? Well, all we're saying, no. Rashi's saying over here, as the pshat in the Mishnah, is that no one saw the act itself. They saw the stira. They saw the seclusion. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's enough. That makes her sota. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, back to the Mishnah. So that is divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ad she yisuvi yinu ba mizoros belavana. So Rabbi Yeshua says as follows. Look. Now, I'm going to explain to Rabbi Yeshua in just a moment. But before that, we know that according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's insufficient grounds to make her a sota. What would render her a sota is warning in front of two witnesses and seclusion in front of two witnesses. So as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, that and only that's going to render her a sota. Until that point in time, she is not a sota. The marriage may not be working out, but in terms of a technical halachic discussion, she's not yet a sota. And Rabbi Yehoshua, therefore, is going to explain to us at what point exactly is she going to be forfeiting her ksuva? Meaning, if you don't have two witnesses, she's not a sota. But even according to Rabbi Yehoshua, there will come a point in time where her behavior is so inappropriate, so off the track, that even Rabbi Yehoshua will say there will come a point in time where she's going to forfeit a ksuva. And when is that? So it's when Yisuv Yitno Ba Mizoros Belavana, literally the women weaving at night to the light of the moon. So when in their discussion, so they discuss, oh, you know her, she's a zona. It's terrible lashon hara. I'm not gonna satisfy your question, but the Gemara a number of times has given this as a benchmark of. That wife is out of control. If the ladies in their nightly meetings, you know, in their games of mahjong, and you know, in other words, over the course of the evening, so they discuss. You know, she's. I know it's strange. I know it's lashon hara. It's terrible lashon hara. But still, it describes a benchmark in which basically she's out of control. Which yeah, you like that. At which point in time now the wife is going to forfeit a ksuva even according to Rabbi Yehoshua. It's interesting. You understand Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua are really having not two different discussions, but it's certainly not the same. Rabbi Eliezer is describing a scenario in which she's going to formally become a sota. This is all according to Rashi. She's going to formally become a sota. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, I don't need a pair of witnesses for the stira. Once you got a kinui in front of two, so then anyone coming reporting that she's secluded is going to render her technically a sota. Where along comes Rabbi Yehoshua and says, no, No. Again, going back to the beginning of the Masechta. Two witnesses for the Kinui, two witnesses for the Stira. The only thing that we could discuss right now is there going to be a point in time where she forfeits the Ksuvim? Rabbi Yeshua says, even I say yes to that. There will come a point in time.
But if she drinks the water, is it okay?
So we're not, again, we're not, meaning if according to Rabbi Eliezer, if there's an Ofa Parech who says that she secluded herself, she'll drink the water. The Rashi simply says, but if the husband bows out from that, the husband says, I'm not interested, so then the get, and she'll forfeit her ksuva.
Okay.
Okay. If she believes she's innocent, she wants to drink the water. Okay, let's go on. So Achizu v'numbab mezorz mavana. Amar edechad ani reisiyah shenitmes lo haisa shosa. One witness comes forward and says, "I saw the act of tumah between her and that man." So at that point in time, she doesn't drink anymore. V'lo od. Ela afilo evda afilo shivcha hare elu ne'emanin af leposim iksuvasa. If one person were to come along and say that I saw the act, so at that point in time, it's a forfeiture of a iksuva. Okay. Chamosa. Bas chamosa. Sarasa. Ivimta. Ubas ba'ala. The five women who are hardwired to dislike her. Let me say that again. Five women who are hardwired to dislike her. Which is her mother-in-law. Okay, sorry, I know, all jokes aside, it's a halachic reality. The daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law are not the best of friends. Obviously, they say they're the best of friends, and that's good. Huh? Okay, correct. In other words, but there's a halachic... Agreed. But there's a halachic reality which we discussed back in Yevamos, and we're discussing now again in Sota. And that is that the mother-in-law, the Bas Chamosa, her stepsister, Sarasa, Bas Chamosa, her sister-in-law, okay? Sarasa, her co-wife, that's self-evident. Her Viavimta, her potential co-wife, meaning, Rashi explains, that... if a woman has a husband and has a brother-in-law and her brother-in-law is married, so she looks towards her sister-in-law meaning her husband's brother's wife, she looks towards her sister-in-law as a potential co-wife. Because all she needs, I mean, unlikely, but all she needs is that her husband to die, and then right there and then, she now is in her Yavama state, she's just one step removed from being a co-wife to this other woman. And finally, Bas Bala, her stepdaughter, Hare Elu Ne'emanus. Now, even though we generally know, we saw this at the end of Masechta Yavamos, these women are hardwired to dislike her. And so therefore, under other circumstances, they are not afforded credibility. But here in the world of Sota, they are believed. Velola posa miksuvasa. However, even when we say they're believed over here, not to forfeit her ksuva, because again, we understand that they don't love her, and so we understand that could be they're just saying this only to have her forfeit her ksuva. So in that regard, they're not believed. Ela shelo tishta. But what they are believed is that again, after kinui, after stira, so already a lot has happened regarding this woman, this wife's. Fidelity. And now she along comes any one of these five women and say, you know, we saw the act. So is she going to lose her ksuva? Is she going to forfeit her ksuva? No. Because we understand that we have a right to be somewhat cynical about that which they're saying. However, at the same time, she herself has done enough damage to impugn her own credibility. So therefore, couple that with the report by any one of these five women, she doesn't drink the mesot anymore. That's it. But she doesn't lose her ksuva.
Seen the act.
Not seclusion. No. We're talking about seeing the act. Now, the Gemara over here, this again should sound familiar because we did this in the beginning of the Masechta. Meaning, let's consider now, two witnesses to make her a Sota, Let's assume like Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rashi says. Let's assume the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, and by the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. So two witnesses for the warning to be a valid warning, two witnesses for the seclusion to be a valid seclusion, and now only one witness is necessary to see the actual act, where upon which, story over. She's not a sota with an opportunity to drink the mesota. She's a sota, meaning she now did an act of znus in the one witness report. Huh?
She's a
vadai sota. So umayim edos rishonah sheinos rasei olam inu meskayemus bepachas mishnayim. Now here, if logic were to dictate, the Mishnah says here's where logic would take us. Two witnesses saw the seclusion. Does she now permanently become usher to her husband? No. She'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, she'll drink the Mesota, and there, at least there's a chance that she can get back together with her husband. And yet for that, you need two witnesses. Eidos Achrona She'asra Se'esar Olam Eino Din She'lo Tizkayim Bepachos Mishnayim. Now, the Eidos Achrona, the women, or no, not the women, the people who see the actual act of Bia, who are going to create an Isra Olam, There's no drinking of the Mesota, so don't you think they need to be two people? If the two people who are going to create a temporary Isser needs to be two witnesses, don't you think those who are going to create a permanent Isser, they need two witnesses? That would have been a Kavachomer, and a good one. Tamar Lomar, V'Eidein Ba, Kol Eidah Sheyesh Ba, Kavachomer, Le'Eidah Sarishona. I'm sorry, Kol Eidah Sheyesh Ba. So the Gemara's answer is Gzeres HaKasuf, meaning you're right. The Kal V'Chomer would have been true, but we have a Gzeres HaKasuf. And now what we're going to do is basically we're going to, now we know that one witness can testify that there was an act of Tumah. So let's now go in the opposite direction. So Kal V'Chomer LeEdus HaRishona Mi'ata Uma Im Edus Achrona She'osrasi Yisra Olam Harehi Miskayemis Beid Echad. So if now I know that one person can step forward and say they saw the act of Tumah and create a permanent Isser between her and her husband. So let's now back up to the Edestira. Edestira, which only creates a temporary Isser. Can't that be done with only one witness? Good. That's the argument. And again, it's an excellent kavachomer. Harei mitkayem beid echad is rishona sheino sras yisra olam. Einu din sheitzkayem beid echad tamalomar ki matza ba'er vastavar. To which the Gemara says, no, it's simply not so. Lahalan Omer al Pishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar, Malahalan al Pishnaim Afkan al Pishnaim. So we have a Gzeres HaKasuf that tells us that no, that the steer, the Eidim steer, have to be two, not one. Okay. Eid Omer Nitmes, Eid Omer Lo Nitmes. Okay, we're going to have a number of scenarios right now where you have conflicting reports. One witness says that she committed the act. One witness says she did not commit the act. Isha Omeris Nitmes, Isha Omeris Lo Nitmes. One woman says that she committed the act. One woman says she did not commit the act. Haisa Shosem. We basically have two forces equal but opposite, totaling a zero effect, a net zero effect. So where are we at right now? We're at where we started from, meaning we know that the husband warned her. We know that she secluded herself with that man. Various reports, conflicting reports as to what happened in that room. We're back to, well, she is a suffix sota. She'll drink the mesota. One witness reports that she committed the act. Two people report she did not commit the act. Haisa Shosa, once again, we are at zero. A zero net effect. And therefore, she's going to be drinking, even though it's one against two, huh? No. This is Edus. Shnayim omrim nitmes ve'echad omer lo nitmes. Two people said that she committed the act. One witness said she did not commit the act. Lo haisa shosa. Finally, the Mishnah on this says she does not drink. Two are saying that she actually committed adultery with that man. They saw the act itself, and one says they didn't. The two is going to outnumber the one. Okay. Hi, Tamalamar, ki matza ba'ervas davar. Tamulamar ba bavlo kino e bavlo bestira mi ba'ilai. In terms of the drasha, the Mishnah used. So the Gemara points out the Mishnah was being imprecise, meaning what was the point the Mishnah was trying to make? That when we allow the credibility of one witness to testify, that's only on the act of bia. But anything prior to that, you need two. And how do I know that? Well, the Gemara is quoting what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. It's based on ki matza ba ervas davar. That the allowance of one witness is only on the act itself, not for the kinui, not for the stira. Why didn't the Mishnah quote that drasha? That's the more precise drasha. Hachinami kamar, the Gemara says, correct. That's what the Mishnah meant. Meaning, the Mishnah knew that. The Mishnah was just writing in kind of like a shorthand sense. Tamalomar ba ba velo bikino ba velo bistira. Vetuma ba ama velo kino velo stira. Deloma hem enedecha minalan. What the Mishnah means to teach us is the following. Look, after kino and after stira, one witness is believed. But what if there was no kino and what if there was no stira? In other words, a simple act of adultery, but without the husband's warning, issuance of a warning. So then what? Are we going to believe one witness? Of course not. There, you need two witnesses. Minalan, and that's what the Mishnah was teaching us. How do I know that? Nemar kan davar, v'nemar lahalan davar, malahalan b'shnei edim, af kan b'shnei edim. Okay, so again, what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, but repeat it again here now, and that is that. On top of kinui and stira, where there's raglaim ladavar, now you have a preponderance of evidence, and now you have one witness coming and seeing the actual act itself, one witness is believed. Without preponderance of evidence, and it's she commits adultery, so there you need to see the act itself, two witnesses, in order to establish that she committed adultery. The Gemara asks a simple question. How do I know that one witness is believed in the world of Sota? Right? After the kinui, after the stira, one witness is believed, but minahan emili, how do I know that? Again, this should sound familiar because we did this in the beginning of the Masechta. This is called good review. The Tanur Rabban and the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Torah describes that there was no witness. The Torah is describing there were no two witnesses. How do I know that? The Torah uses the word aid in the singular. How do I know it's not a reference to one? Because the Torah in Parsha Shoftim says, lo yakum eid echad. One witness cannot testify about a crime. Now there, why does the Torah say the word echad? Aid is singular. Shouldn't I know by the word aid by itself that it means one? We have what's called over here a precedent. From this point going forward, we know that aid means two, unless the Torah has to go out of its way to say echad. Now, with that in mind, so now we go back to the parsha of Sota. The Torah says ve'aid ein ba, and there's no clarification of what the word aid means. The Binyanav teaches us aid means that there weren't a pair of witnesses. And now here's how we understand the Torah: hare leisba v'amarchmana. Sorry, tre leisba el echad. And the Torah is saying there weren't two witnesses. You know what there was? One witness. Vihi lo nispasa. And she wasn't violated. In other words, she was a willing participant in the act. Asura. At that point, she becomes prohibited. Okay. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. In the world of Sota, the Torah extends credibility to one witness as if it's two. One equals two. The math of Sota is that one equals two. So, if one equals two, now the Gemara is going to ask such a powerful question. So now I have one witness against one witness in the context of Sota. So it's not one versus one. It's one equaling two versus one. Right?
Why isn't the second one?
Why isn't
the second one?
Because v'ha amar ula. I'll explain in just a moment. V'ha amar ula. Kol makom she'emina Torah eid echad hare kan shnayim. Once the Torah extends credibility, one therefore is going to equal two. Ein dvarav shalach b'makom shnayim. So this would be similar to having a court case, having two witnesses come in reporting something, having one witness contradict him. Two is credible. One is not. Well, if in the world of Sota, one equals two, so now the one against one means it's really two against one. So basically now in our Mishnah, how did you understand the Mishnah? Our Mishnah says if it's one against one, so the two forces equal, but opposite equals zero. And we're back to where we started, which is Kinui. Stira, we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, she's going to drink the Mesota. The question Ula is asking is a very powerful question. In the world of Sota, one witness is given the credibility of two, so one versus one is really two versus one. As far as Ben's question is concerned, well, how come the other one isn't also treated like two? Because there, the Torah is not extending a credibility. The credibility is extended only to the one who's actually reporting that he saw the act of Tumah. So now, the Torah is basically saying, Ki'ilu, you are two people. The other person is saying, no, it's not true. He's being machish, but his achasha is not given the power of two. So question on the table, we have now a scenario of where it's one versus one, but halachically, it's two versus one. So why does the Mishnah say she drinks the Mesota? Ula gives a very a strong answer to this question. Ella amar Ula, tini lo haisa shosa, v'chein amar Yitzchak, lo haisa shosa. So when Ula reads our Mishnah, he takes out his pen, he goes to our Mishnah, and he, instead of saying haisa shosa, writes the Mishnah as lo haisa shosa. Meaning the question is just simply too powerful according to Ula, and therefore the Mishnah should be read, she does not drink. I will stop over here. I know we have a little bit more to finish the parak. We'll finish the parak tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. We'll start the seventh parak of the Masechta. Again, what we did today is we finished the fifth parak. We did a lot. Finished the fifth parak of the Masechta today. Talked about who sings Shiras Yam, how they sing Shiras Yam, and whether it's preferable to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of Av and Yira. Started the sixth parak today. Almost finished the sixth parak today. A review of the Mesota, a forfeiture of Iksuva if Ofa Perech comes and reports, but that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua says you need much more than that for her to forfeit Iksuva. And then a review of the basic idea of an aid echad by a sota, where after kino and after stira, one aid is extended the credibility of two. How then do you understand our Mishnah? Ula says you're going to have to edit our Mishnah. Stay tuned. Not everyone agrees with Ula. We're going to see that first thing tomorrow morning.